Hello, hello. Come on in. I am Coach Ashley. This is going to be your call with Coach Susie. Just waiting for her to get in. But come on in. Say hi. All right, let me change my name here. There's Susie. Hi, Susie. Okay, I'm going to promote you to panelist. And then we'll get started. All right, Susie, you are on mute. So I'm going to go off video and I'll be in the chat with y'all.
So good. How are you? How are you? How are you? Let me just make sure my audio is grand, and it is. Brilliant. All right, we have approximately 1 hour together, but like the last time, if we need to go over, we will go over. And I want to check in first and foremost. And let me see where this chat is here. And I want to check in first and foremost on how you're doing. And I want to hear it all, like truly all. I want to hear those of you who have gotten moving more this past period of time, those of you who got stopped and where and how you got stopped. And I want to hear about pain. I want to hear about strain. I want to hear about all of it, right? Because I mean, my lens, when I enter into a lot of conversations with people, it's about pain or strain or tension. And there's a desire for people to get moving and to get active and to get back to things that they wanted to do or to do those things with less pain. And then after that, after pain is settled, then it's like, okay, yeah, let's go to town on really, really getting strong without any pain. So, I just want to see where are you all? Like where and how are you doing? And you know, sometimes too, I'll also add is that with getting exercise and again in movement, there's all sorts of obstacles that can pop up and get in the way. And whether it's kind of going into the what next, or whether it's just getting out of the inertia and moving again. There's all sorts of things that can get in the way, and there can be a little bit of shame and a little bit of concern and a little bit of like, well, I don't want to admit it, or I don't want to celebrate it when I know other people are suffering. Like all that is valid. And so I just want to get a sense of where and how and all those things of how you're doing. Is anyone kind of feeling for the yellow lights? Any of that stuff? How are you doing? All right, perfect. So things coming in. All right. Okay, so increased to 8,000 steps. And today is day 9. Fabulous, Julie. Fabulous. And iPhone, I was very active and now I have so much body pain and I'm still down 40 pounds. So there's like an and both in there right now. It's great that it sounds like a goal. There's a goal around weight loss, obviously. And my question for iPhone is there also a desire about moving or doing a movement? And I'm going to come back to that kind of questioning in a moment. I'm just going to keep going through the comments here. And then iPhones, yes. Okay, perfect. Okay. There's a few iPhones, I think. I've worked up to 4 miles on the recumbent. My knee is still hurting when I try to walk, and I've also begun lifting. Okay, great. I'm not sure if I seriously hurt my knee or if I just kind of hurt it. It takes a week to see a doctor here. I was loving Pilates, and then wham, I overdid it. Try not to lose my fitness level. Okay, great. That's really, really important. And we'll talk about that particular thought about trying not to lose my fitness level and then what that can lead to. Some left rotator cuff pain after cleaning the house. Yep. especially if you're looking at things like vacuuming and getting in behind the toilet. Those are really, really common chores that when I'm working with people, those are the chores I tend to ask folks if they can bring other people in to, because vacuuming and getting in behind that toilet, that they are so awkward. And getting some extra support for those ones can be helpful. And I can talk more about that if you'd like. Me too. Okay, Celeste has said, I started with a lazy fit workout routine. Ooh, I love that. I love that title. Oh my God, that's so good. More people should do lazy fit workouts, honestly. And I have my reasons why. I can share more about that. I made it through the first 28 days, but the next step I picked bed exercises. I'm pretty sure I'm not ready for those. Okay, great. All right. Really, 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 really great. Okay, so that's giving you some indication. We could talk about that. Okay, doing some walking, but struggling with pain in my legs and neck, trying to figure out how to build strength without being able to lift weights. Okay, fabulous. It's been so long that now I get so out of breath, I feel deflated. Can I ever get the stamina and lung capacity built back up again? And my question for you, Becky, is have you had any sort of lung removal or lung condition that would anatomically or physiologically limit lung capacity? Can you answer me that? All right. So we've got. I'm just making some notes here and then not ready for exercises. Okay. Lung capacity. This is really, really good. Okay. So I have a very sedentary job where I work from home and have no movement. I'm 40 pounds overweight. When I try to walk, I have terrible hip and lower back pain. I don't know how to get past it to increase movement. Okay. And then Becky's had a double knee replacement in 2020. Okay. All right. So I want to hear about Lazy Fit, but considering trying it. Okay, great. So I've never heard of Lazy Fit. So I think the Celeste talked about Lazy Fit. So I think Celeste, let's not have the conversation here between you and Rachel. I think that's great for the Facebook group. If you can do that there, that would be really, really great because I just love the sound of it. And why don't I just start there? And then I'm going to go through some of these because they all weave in together. And I am going to give my I'm going to shamelessly pitch myself to you all because more than anything in the world, I want to keep working with all of you inside of No BS. And Corinne knows that I do this a lot, and Yasmin knows I do this a lot. So you just let them know that if you want more of Susie, let them know because I would love to keep providing more of this type of coaching and teaching, as well as more videos, because I absolutely love working with you guys. And there's such a correlation between what you're learning around food and feeling your body and your hunger and all of that with food that I would more than anything want to do more of this from a movement perspective because the two of them are so tied together, as you'll see as we start talking here today. Okay. That's awesome. I love that, Trudy. And thank you, iPhone, Roz, and Tanya, and all the hearts. Thank you. Because it's Saturday morning at 9 a.m. My kids are with the babysitter, and it's like 9 a.m. where I am. It's just, I love it. I love it. Okay. So, first things first. What I love about the concept about Lazy Fit, I have no idea what Lazy Fit is. So just understand that I got no clue what the heck Lazy Fit is. But the idea, and I heard that there's something around the bed exercises and all that. What I love about an idea around laziness and fitness being brought together is that most people would not bring those two concepts together. Now, would they? Like when you think about fitness, does the word lazy ever enter into your brain space? Right? Like ever, really? And the answer likely is not, right? But what I love about it is I remember a physical therapist, a friend of mine, he once said, you know, it's too bad that we call exercise workouts We really shouldn't use the word workout because we got the word work and we got the word out in there. And so there's an external sort of thing around the work of fitness. And his whole idea was if we actually made the term a lot gentler and a lot more non-work, then more people would likely do it. And this was like bazillions of years ago that he said that. And it just sort of struck me. I'm like, that's actually a really interesting point. That was at the beginning of my career. And I'm like, huh, that's really, really curious. So the idea here is you don't need to work hard for fitness. Okay. There are times to work hard. So for example, some of you know that I did a bike trip in Italy this summer. And so it was a multi-day trip. And we our location was at a hotel in Italy, in Tuscany, and then every day we went out, and we went out for like 70 to 100 kilometer rides a day. Did I work hard? Absolutely. Did I push myself? Oh boy, yeah. And I had the mechanical ability to do it, right? But early on, when I started riding, was I doing something like that? No, I wasn't, right? I was just moving. Or I think about, and I see there's some questions in the Q&A. I'll get to those in just a sec. And I think about like when I was coming out of having my twins, and I had a scheduled C-section because one of them had a placenta previa, and so there was no exit to get out, and so I had a C-section. And the reason I mentioned that is because there wasn't a whole lot of laboring and pelvic floor stretching and all that kind of stuff. So all in all, the way that I know how to recover, it was a pretty straightforward process. And all in all. So, but I didn't feel like running really at all. And I loved running before. And then all of a sudden, around sort of 9 months after having the kids, I was like, huh, I kind of feel like running again. But my cardio capacity was really quite low. So what I did is I just ran until like my breath got a little like, oh my God, I feel like I'm getting out of breath. And then I would stop. And that was about a block. And then I would run again. And once I got my breath back, I would run again. And that was about a block. And I did that for like 2 or 3 weeks. Now I had the reminder of what running was, but I hadn't done it for like a really long time. And so I just sort of followed my body of like, all right, I'm going to run and I'm going to stop. I'm going to run. I'm going to stop. I didn't note the time. I didn't say 1 minute or 2 minute. I ran until I ran out of breath. And then I ran until I ran out of breath, ran or, and then there was a couple times where I had a little bit of strain in my body. I'm like, well, I'm still breathing well, but my body's telling me to stop. And I just kept at that. And all of a sudden, I was then running 20 minutes, not in too far of a period of time. So the point being is that I didn't go after running to go after running. When I started riding, I didn't go after riding to go after riding. I just let my body move. And then that enabled better movement, right? Because when we are driving ourselves really hard earlier on, we tend to miss some of the signals that are letting us know to slow down. And then we go overboard and then we get frustrated. So, but that's, and I really want to clarify, that's a different phase than when you've been active and you've got more stability and your pain is dropping and you're comfortable in like, yeah, I'm ready to drive myself. And you can kind of feel that. It's like, I'm ready for more, right? And so there's a difference. So I think the important thing first is to recognize where you're at on the spectrum. And there's some of you who you are like, I'll start from one end where you might be in that the age category, and I'm not going to label the age because different people have this happen at different ages, but you might be in an age category where you're in your brain thinking, maybe it's too late. It's too late for me. I'm in the sunset of my life, whatever that is for you. I just have to suck it up, right? And this is just the way it is. And so that can be a block. And then you might be in the phase of, oh man, I got all this weight and ugh. There's like, ugh, kind of like feeling, right? And so then it's like, oh, how do I even get started? And then you don't start, right? And then there's some of you who I know who have made a bunch of gains and you're not really sure about what's next. And you don't want to go back, right? So there's your, and there's probably other variations of that, but you can be in those different spaces. And the only space that I would say that, of like when you're really, really, really ready to push, is you've got this inner, like there's a feeling versus a thought, right? And even though thoughts are a part of it, there's this feeling of like, yeah, I'm ready, right? And it's not like, oh, I gotta push myself, right? So it's, do you see the distinction? Do you see the distinction there? Yeah. Okay. So, and Julie, I don't exactly know if that's what lazy fit's all about. The idea here that I really want to emphasize is all that you're learning in No BS around, well, not all, you're doing a lot more than this, but the concept that I so love is listen for your hunger cues and figure out what those hunger cues are, because then you're feeling internally what your needs are, as opposed to sometimes what can be the yappingness up in here, right? And so when you can feel of like, eat when you're hungry and stop at enough, like, and really understand what enough is, then you get into a rhythm of knowing what nurturing and nourishing your body is with food. And it's the same thing with exercise. It's like basically the exact same thing. And so you might start, like I'm noticing here, I think this is one. There's a post I saw here about somebody just getting out to walk, and there's a desire towards 8,000 steps. I can't find it. Yeah, I can't find it. But there's, can you, what's the easiest step you can take? What's the easiest step you can take? Oh, I love that, Mary Beth. Yes, nurturing your body with exercise. Yeah, it's the same thing as with food, right? So it's like, it's what's and what's the easiest step you can take to nurturing yourself? And if you're going after nurturing yourself, because when you're coming at it from that place of nurturing or whatever word works for you, then you're coming at it from what we often will say, sort of in the mindfulness exploratory world. There's a kindness and a curiosity, and there's more of an exploration idea versus like, right? Like, and maybe play around with the opposites of that. Like, what's the opposite in your mind to nurturing when it comes to exercise? Like, if you're not nurturing your body with exercise, what are you doing? I can feel in your body. Like, if you're not nurturing yourself when you lift weight, then what are you doing? If you're not nurturing yourself when you're going out for a walk, what are you doing? I think if you can feel that for yourself, and everyone's probably gonna have a slightly different word, but if you can name those states and feel what those states are, then you can notice what's kind of driving you when you're on that non-nurturing side. And I mean, I know about kids. My kids are 8, and I can clearly see how they respond so much more effectively with nurturing. Right? Like, we've seen that. We've seen it clearly when we've got kids and spouses and friends and all that, like how people respond. Yeah. Okay. So let me come to these questions because there's some Q and A's here. So if you guys want to post your opposite to nurturing, I would love to see that. If you want to share. Okay. Let's pop up to here. Okay. These are great questions. Oh, there's so much stuff that we can talk about. Oh, I love it. Okay, so these are great questions, and these are actually questions that will weave into some of the other things that I want to chat about, especially coming back to the lung capacity. So we've started in that initial phase of like building from a place of lazy, right? And so the word I used was like nurturing. Not that lazy and nurturing are the same, but when I saw lazy fitness, it was like, okay, let's settle into this sort of female approach to exercise, right? As opposed to some sort of driven thing. And I love what someone's posted here. It's driving and pounding are two words that came out, which is great. And so if you're driving yourself or pounding, or if you're being hard, how does that feel in your body? And maybe the word isn't nurturing for you. Maybe it's a different word. But then notice if you are more interested in then exercising from nurturing versus exercising from driving, pounding, hard, or neglect. Now, it could be that you are motivated by hard and pounding and driving. Like, it could be, because these words are all just words, right? But I love what iPhone said. It's like, it feels terrible. It makes the pain worse. And we know, like, it's clear in the science that what we think about our symptoms and our sensations, what we think about them can either settle them or escalate them. And so if you're thinking hard and then you feel it in your body as being worse, then that's a pretty awesome indicator from your body to say, okay, that is not the word for me, right? Or if you talk to your, like, I hear it a lot with my clientele, like people are talking about their bodies as being bad, or a bad body part, or a bad hip, or a, like, why can't my body cooperate, or all that. Like, and so when you think about, like, when you hear yourself saying that, I'm not saying that it's not true, but it's just interesting. It's an interesting coercion technique that we sometimes play in our bodies. Yeah. Okay. So then let's come up to these questions in the Q&A. Okay. So, yes. Thank you. It's coming. So the first one that came in, this actually works. These work in a good place here. I feel so out of shape, but have been an exerciser in the past. Now I just don't want to start. Feel like starting small is a waste of time, but going hard will also be painful. Okay, so I'm going to use an example that it might be overused, which is when there are children. When they're babies and they turn into children, I guess they're always children, but as they get older, they go from typically some version of crawling to like learning how to stand, to learning how to walk, to learning how to run, right? And I still remember, I've got this great video of my little guy being so excited that he could jump. And his squat to get ready for jumping was way bigger than the actual jump, but he did it, right? So there's neuromuscular patterning that needs to happen. So small is actually the amount of time that needs to happen as opposed to a waste of time. Small is the building block toward big. I'm going to use a different analogy. In business, people will say, I want to make X number of dollars. So let's just put a number like, say, $10,000. I want to make $10,000. But they don't have a plan for how to make 1,000. And you have to make 1,000 on your way to 10. So if you want to run a marathon, you need to be able to walk a block. So if you can't walk a block, you won't be able to run the marathon. So we need to begin at the block. Does that make sense? But I get why it can feel like a waste of time, because especially when there's this, there's the weight, the albatross of feeling like, oh, this is just so hard to even get going. So I'm going to leave it there. I've given a few analogies there, and let me know how that sort of settles in your body and mind. Okay. So that was from an anonymous. But I get it. I totally, totally, totally get it. You're in good company. A lot of people are feeling that way too. Yeah. And that's, I love it what Amy's added. It's like Corinne says, someone who loses 50 pounds had to lose 1 pound 50 times. Yeah. I love it. Okay, great. So then Kay here said, okay, this is a really good one. This is good because I think a lot of you here might be close to this or in this phase. I'm in menopause with a sedentary job, 35 pounds overweight. I currently use body weight and 10 and 15 dumbbells 2 times per week. I keep hearing that I need to lift heavy weights in menopause, but no one gives a range of what that means. Is it 15, 20, 50-pound dumbbells? I think you're trying to figure it out. Okay, so here's, it's good. This is going to sound maybe a bit controversial, maybe a bit counterintuitive, or maybe it's going to sound absolutely right. So there is an element of what science is saying around lifting heavier weights. Yes, there is something around that. And again, if you can't just go to a 50-pound weight, you can't just go to a 100-pound weight. What's heavy for you? Okay, what's heavy for you? Okay, that's number one. That's the first question I want to leave with you, Kay. Okay, the second question that I want to leave with you, or maybe it's not a question, it's a statement, is in order to lift something that's heavy for you, you need to have the structure to lift that heavy thing. So what I mean by that, it's kind of what I was saying around the anonymous attendee and what I was saying around the lazy fitness piece of it, is that if, and then what someone, I think Amy added around, you need to lose 50 pounds, you need to lose 1 pound 50 times, is if If your body doesn't have the structure, the integrity to lift 50 pounds, you're going to hurt yourself. So the reason why no one can give a range is because there is no range. Like the reason why no one gives a range is because there is no range. So you're kind of left out in the wilderness, truly, truly. So and these days, a lot of what that science is saying is the researchers, and I've run a program on osteoporosis that I designed for yoga teachers who were teaching their clients. And the researcher I brought in, who was an osteoporosis researcher, she said one of her key words when people were saying, well, questions similar to this, she said, well, it depends. Like every answer started with, it depends. And it just goes to highlight that it's and that's not a bad thing. In fact, what I hope it provides Kay and the rest of you, or many of you, is it gives you a lot of freedom to really feel what works in your body. And because we live in a culture that tends to say to us that our bodies are really stupid and we need to tell it what to do, it can be very challenging to listen and feel for what the body needs. Okay. So what I would say, the offering I have for you is this, Kay, is that if you're lifting 10 to 15 pound dumbbells 2 times per week, and you're making progress, like you're feeling good, yeah, and your pain is, there's no pain, or there's your tension patterns are going down and all that kind of stuff, then I would add more load, and then just keep adding more load, and then maybe for like 1 or 2 repetitions you add a little bit more load, because the number of repetitions you're able to do with 10 pounds is going to be more than the repetitions you can do with 20 pounds, right? And so it's like you could do a workout or let me change the language. You can do a strength training session where, because you're building and you're training strength, that's the outcome you're seeking, is that maybe you do like whatever repetition numbers you're doing with the 10 pounds, and maybe you bring in a heavier weight that you can still move well. So if you're doing bicep curls, for example, and you're doing them like this, we don't want you to get a 20 pounder and then do this, right? That's like, because now you're strengthening up in here and your brain thinks that that's a bicep curl. So we still want you to do this. You want to lift something you can still lift well. You still want good form. So it may be that you add a little bit more and fewer repetitions and start playing with that. Does that help, Kay? Does that help? Sounds like we need some, okay, great, Kay. It sounds like we need some strength stuff for menopause that we can play with. So I'll let Yasmin know that. Okay. Okay, so Carrie said, I've been going all in on Pilates and Orange Theory for a couple of months. Well done. While I'm seeing gains in my body, I feel like I'm stalling the scale. I'm not eating the calories, maintaining a calorie deficit, but it's so disheartening. How can I get my head around still being excited with what I'm doing? That's a great question. And I don't have enough information, but I'm going to give an answer for you to ponder. Is sometimes when we're adding more muscle to our system, we there like there there's a change of tissue, and then the scale, like there's a reduction of like of adipose or fat tissue, but an increase of muscle tissue. So that can stall the scale even though you're gaining strength. So it could be what you're eating. So sometimes it's not necessarily always about calorie deficit. I'm slowly kind of veering outside my lane right now because I'm not a nutritionist and I'm not a nutrition person for strength training. However, What I do know about it is that it might not be it might be what you're consuming that might be an issue. There's also, it also could be like if you're exercising, it could like sometimes for some women, some active women, exercising when fasted and not having eaten something can sometimes be an issue. So there's, I'm sorry that I can't get more into that. What I would research is around nutrition, and I don't know your age, so I don't know if you're peri or menopausal or which or well before that. I'm not like I'm not sure that it's a thought thing. I think that might be what is being eaten. But again, I'm humming and hawing over here right now because that's a bit outside my lane. But I'm hoping that provides a little bit of something. Yeah. Sorry, I can't be of more help on that one. But it sounds like you're doing what you need to do it, but it's making me wonder about the input of the food and the what and the how and the when, maybe. Okay, so can yeah, so Amy, I'm doing that. I find I'm afraid of muscle memory. I find I'm afraid of muscle memory. If you've done the same routine for years, and you start up again and you feel fear about doing the exercises because it seems easy, but you find yourself stumbling. I know I should either go slow or try a different routine, but I lose interest because I should be able to do better. Okay, there's a number of different things that are in there. So I find I'm afraid of muscle memory. If you have done the same routine for years and you start up again and you feel fear about doing the exercises. So are you afraid of muscle memory because you're doing the same routine over and over and you've got a thought that you ought not to do that? And are you stumbling because of that? And are you also are you losing interest because you don't want to do a new routine? So there's a kind of a few thoughts in there that I'm not I that need to be a bit untangled, I think. I think there's a few things in there that I'm not entirely sure about. Sorry, iPhone. Can you maybe answer me that? Maybe answer me that. If the fear is doing the same exercise routine, but you're comfortable with the same exercise routine and maybe go slower, but you're afraid to do something new because you might lose interest. So I'm not sure. If you can fill me in on that one, that would be helpful because I can probably provide another one. Okay, so those are all those ones are answered. That's done. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so now, it seems like with a lot of folks that the consistency factor is can be problematic. And there can be this, well, and I can read this in a number of comments, and I'm sort of all the comments are kind of going through my head right now, where you can get into a groove and do something, but then something pops up in your head of like, I should really go harder, and this isn't going to do anything because you're not seeing the gains as quick as you want them to. So then you get frustrated or something else happens in your life that that kind of takes you off track. And then to come back on track is really hard to do. And so the offering I have, there's two parts to this. And this is not going to be new information. And I'm thinking that hearing it again in another way from a different person might kind of open up some ideas for you. Because when I think about lung capacity, the comment about lung capacity, there's like all of this can change. A tissue can change. Tissue can change. I've worked with people all my life who are older than me. And so as I've gotten older, all of my clients have gotten older. And consistently, my older clients have always been the ones who've got better faster. And that might be surprising to you because the messaging we hear out there is that the older you get, the more decrepit you become, right? That's basically the messaging. And the reality that I've seen is that's actually not the case. that there's a way of moving and a consistency that needs to happen. But there's a bigger piece that's also important, and that is, what's your compelling reason? Because for any kind of change to happen, there needs to be some sort of motivating force that's kind of that may start surface level, but ultimately, to keep us going, there needs to be something burning. And so I often think, like, when someone wants to come to see me and they're in pain, I often think, okay, there's been a spark inside of them of like, ooh, she can help me. So then when they come, I want to nurture that spark, but it's not really on me to nurture the spark. They need to nurture the spark, right? I'm not them. So like, that spark is theirs to nurture. But I'm recognizing that I'm part of the space, but they're ultimately the ones who that nurture it. And the way that I help people nurture their spark is I find out from them, why bother and why now? In other words, what's their compelling reason? So why bother and why now? Because you might have a reason of like why you want this, but the timing might not be right. So it's like, then that's okay. So just recognize the timing's not right. So then when the timing is the timing right? Like, why bother and why now? So those are two ideas to think about. And the other is, and I'll use this as an example. There was a time when I was working with a lot of people, that they would say to me, I want to get out of pain. I want to be able to walk without pain. That's why I'm coming to see you. And then I would say in my head, okay, I would ask them, I'd say, so are you already walking? And then they'd say, well, yes, I'm already walking. And I'm like, okay, so right now you're already walking, and the pain isn't really limiting your walking. Well, no, I can walk. And I'm like, okay, so this is not something that's really, I don't say this out loud, I say it in other ways, but basically I'm saying, okay, in my head, I'm thinking, that's not what's going to nurture the flame or the spark. Because if someone's already walking, their life is not restricted enough to make a change. So we can do surface level things and sort of manage the pain. But if someone actually really wants to get out of pain, now we're looking at something a little bit different, right? It's why you can do ball rolling, you can do exercises here for this and exercises here for that, and you get a little bit of relief, or you go to a professional and they give you a massage or a chiropractic adjustment or whatever. All those things are great, but there's not like a fundamental change because we're not changing it at a pattern level. And so to change it at a pattern level, which is where significant change actually happens, which you've all seen here in this group, we need to understand, well, why now? Like, what's your why and why now? Like, why bother and why now? So where I've come to is that people might come initially because they say, I want to walk without pain. And I nod my head and I'm thinking, okay, so that's their surface level reason for being here. They might not even know why, like their deeper why, but we'll start here because that's what's safe enough for them to explore. So then I work with them to help them reduce the pain for walking. And then it's like, well, now what do you want? Because if we really want you, if you really want to make the fundamental change, we actually need to start making some fundamental change. Or this is just going to be a management thing. In a few weeks, the pain is just going to come back again. So that's where I want you to kind of ponder. So on one level, it's like you can have your why bother and why now, and it might be I want to walk without pain, and you might be someone who's walking. Same kind of example. But then if you kind of really soften into your heart, if that's available, if that's safe to go to, if that's available. Why? Like, really? Like, why? If you were exercising consistently, like, why bother? And really, why now? Yeah? And if you can kind of tap into that, now we can start to create support and accountability and all that from that space. Now, I also recognize that going there gets a little bit more vulnerable Right? And so you might not start there, but it's like if you can start with that initial why. Okay? I'll let that settle in. Okay, so let's scroll up here. Let's see. Small is on the way to big. Yes. Yes, Mary. I'm trying to get back into running and wish I could just get back to 5K in under 1 hour every day, even though it's been 3 years. I have to remember to listen to my body and just take it a bit at a time. Yes. And so, Mary, you could go out. If you're running, you could just run until your breath starts to get out of breath. And then stop and then walk for a bit and then run and then walk for a bit. And what goes on in some people's head is I'm never going to get to the goal I want. But the reality is when you're moving aligned with your body's physiology, you get to your goal faster than trying to push your body into something that it can't do, right? Because if you're straining your system, you're straining your system. Like think about anything else that's out there as a living system that's strained. It wears out faster. So we need to f we're finding that place where, and this is why I like to stay on the side of nurturing, where you're the movement in a sense, the workout, the training program is restorative. And this might sound really counterintuitive, but what if you left your workout or your strength training session or your yoga session or your Pilates session feeling better than when you went in, like all over? So you like, I know there's some trainers who say, I want you to feel like you are a bag of crap when you finish. Like your body should feel so worn out when you're done. And I'm like, why? Why would you want to deplete yourself so much? Now, I'm happy to have an argument about this or discussion about this. Not here. I'm just offering a totally counterintuitive offer of like, how does that land in you? Like, if you could leave a training session feeling better than when you went in, more pump, not just emotionally pumped up, but that your physical energy is more bolstered, that you've renewed yourself, you've not damaged yourself. And so I'm wondering how that lands for some of you. Some of you, I think, will really take to that. Others of you be like, no, that's not my way. I want to actually feel like I've really worked hard, which is fine. That's totally cool. But those of you who might be struggling to get going, I'm wondering if an idea of like, I want to feel renewed after and not crappy. I'm just curious, right? And there's so many ways at this, right? There's so many ways to like there's so many ways to fuel yourself into a strength training, a yoga session, a whatever session. There's so many ways. So it's like I want to make sure that I'm not telling you how you ought to think or feel, but rather that you're recognizing what your energy is asking for as opposed to what some external thing, even me for that matter, like what I want. It's more the thing is what's true for you so that you can be aligned with you. Because if you are operating from you as you get into your movements and as you get into all that, you're gonna soar. Okay, cool. So iPhone says, oh my God, that makes me feel so much better about not lifting heavy. Great. My whole body feels better when I can work through your classes. Yay, Trudy. Awesome. I'm just being proud that I'm in the gym. Sweet. Good. Okay, Donna, I so agree. I want vigorous physical activity to make me feel and be better. That's always my desire. Brilliant. Brilliant. So then you know when you like for those who this lands for, then you've got it like an internal dial you can focus on. So when the teacher or the instructor or the whatever is saying, go harder, you can say, thank you. No, thank you. Because that's just their view of things, right? And it's like, but this is my body, and you get to, and the thing is, here's another truth is sometimes what we might realize that we have to lift, as an example, we have to lift heavier, might be scared to lift heavier, but there's still this other feeling inside saying, yeah, I know I need to do this. I'm really terrified. It reminds me of a story. I'll give you another kid's story. I think about my kids when we go to a restaurant And something we're working with right now is they'll say, I want another drink, right? And with kid menus, like they get the drink and it's a, like a refillable drink, right? And they'll say, I want another drink. And it's like, okay, well, you can ask the server for a drink. And then they'll say, but I'm scared to. I said, no problem, I'll help you. And I'll say, how about I call over the server and then I'll ask them that you might have something to say and then you can ask. And so you can see them all getting all like 8-year-old freaking out. And so I call over the server and I say to the server, and they totally know what's going on. And I'll say, so my daughter has something to ask you. And the server's like, okay, what would you like? And then she's like, can I have another drink? And she's so thrilled that she's done it. But I didn't say to her, well, tough luck. If you can't ask for the drink, you're not getting a drink. Like, it's too big of a step, right? It's too big of a step. So I can honor what she is ready for. And she can see the steps. One step is call over the server. The second step is to like get the server's attention, like to have them connected. And the third one's to actually ask them and make sure they heard it, right? So it's like, it's so what I want for you is something similar. It's like, what stage are you? And you might be afraid to lift heavier, but you know you need to. But there's also this inner feeling of like you want to. And so then where and like and then follow, just follow that inner feeling. Okay. Okay. Kay said, follow-up question on strength training and menopause. I'm in PT for degenerative lower back, which is permanent. Core strength is the focus. I'm trying to figure out what is realistic given my condition. The PT exercises seem, excuse me, entirely too easy to make a difference, but I don't want to aggravate my back either. Just trying to find a happy medium. Okay, so how you can work with this. And one thing I do want to offer is for those of you who want more help from me, sort of in this interim between now and a future time when I can be back here on a regular basis with you all. If I can, if Yasmin and Corinne and I can put that all together. Is in August, I'm running a knee program. It's a multi-hour program where I can help you do exactly this, Kay. Is that even though it's back stuff and you're doing core stuff, I can help you get into bigger exercises with all that in mind. So I'm just gonna leave, I'm just gonna leave that with you. And if that's something of interest, then what I want you to do is I want you to email me, okay? I'm just going to do this. Email me at functionalsynergy.com. So I'm putting that into the chat. Okay. So if you email me here, then I will connect you with something, okay? And then I'm also going to go back to Yasmin and say, okay, we need to, this is an area, a menopause thing, and something like this that Kay's bringing up is really important, I think, for the group, and we'll see what we can do. But if you want to do something sooner, then email me at health at functional synergy and I can show you what we do in that with the knee program. And that will likely help. Okay. Because what and but in the if that's something you don't want to do, and here's another answer for you to ponder, any of you who are thinking this, is you're wanting to take what you're gaining from the physical therapist, you're wanting to take that into more complex exercises, and I'm reading into it that you're a bit scared because you don't want to hurt your back. You know that there's a limitation there, and you also want to get stronger. And so the piece of what you need to play with is with the exercises you're currently doing, ask your PT, what can you do that adds more load? You can ask that question. What can I do that can add more load and my back is still going to be happy? Start with that question and then see what your PT gives you. And then if you want to take that next step, always post it into Ask a Coach or whichever that Ask a Coach thing is, whether it's ask, yeah, it's Ask a Coach. And they'll get that question to me. So if you let me know what the PT says, then I can answer that in, or I can answer it in the Facebook group, whichever one works better for you. Okay. All right. Okay. I hope that helps. All right. All right, let's move into some movement things. Okay, thank you, Coach Ashley. So there's the Ask Coaches link. So Kay, you can, if you ask the PT, what can I do that's more loaded that will still be okay with my back, but I want to keep getting stronger. And then post that into that thing place. Okay. And if you want more of my specific help, then just email me at health@functionalsynergy. Okay. And then I'll guide you. I'll guide any of you along. Okay. Alrighty. So, okay, the same thing, Rebecca. I would say the same thing for you as well. So Rebecca's posted in here, 75 years old, 50 pounds over my goal weight, lots of arthritis. On good days, I get in 400, 4,500 steps. Parts of me are excellent and parts of me don't hurt, but the discomfort of bone on bone and this Baker's cyst are sometimes humbling. Okay, great. So what you have to get from me is that I say all the time, okay, great, because anything that's going on in your body is a very creative way at finding balance. And I know that that sounds might sound really, really counterintuitive, but pain is a great signal. All these things are great signals. And so when you there's a piece, if you come into, so Rebecca, if you come into the course, getting moving, and you go through some of like the stiffness program or the knee program, I think that's in there. Then, and you start to, listen to some of the intro videos and pay attention to how your body is moving. 'Cause these are things that very few people are teaching. They teach good form in exercise, but they're not teaching like how your body actually moves. And so a lot of times with bone on bone and Baker cysts, hip and knee stuff, is it's how your legs and pelvis and feet are moving that there's some stickiness that is under your awareness that you're not, it's out of your consciousness. You don't know it's there. And it's ways that we compensate and we can push through it, but there's still this sort of undercurrent of like tension patterns that you can't figure out. And when that's happening, that's typically because there's something underlying that's going on. So even though there's bone on bone, even though there's arthritis, your movements can still improve and your pain can still go down. Okay. Okay. And then Maureen, yes, Ashley has just posted the course. So Maureen just asked, is there a no BS course? Yes. Yeah. And any questions, Maureen, that come up around that, you can post in Ask Coaches or into the Facebook group, and then the coaches will tag me on this and let me know that someone's posted. Okay. I'm also going to be adding another video in that course on using a ball and rolling it with a ball. So if you want to do more ball work, you can get you can get input from me on the way that I approach ball work and self-massage work. Okay. Okay. All right. So, okay. Love, love, love. Okay. So I tried a different gym, but it's not really a match for me. The previous gym was good, but the personal trainers were constantly changing, quitting. I really want to work out with support at least 2 times a week as I walk about 1.5 hours daily, split between an hour in the morning and 30 in the evening. How do I find a good fit? I'm 66 and started walking, working out in January. I'm extremely consistent and willing to invest in my health. I have no limits other than being overweight, and I'm down 40 pounds since January. Way to go. I still have 50 more to go. There's a few questions I have for you. One of them is, are you wanting a trainer to support you? Are you wanting an accountability group to support you? Are you wanting someone to get questions asked? Is it that you need someone to text or message about this is the program I'm doing this week, and then following up that you've done it? I'm wondering what kind of support do you need? Because it kind of depends on, because there's trainers out there online who could also help design programs for you But then you check in with them, and some, like, there's ones that are, depending on what you want to spend, there's ones that have that there's all different sorts of price points. So it just depends on what accountability or support that you're thinking that you need. I want a trainer so I can learn the correct form. Aha. Okay. So then, does the trainer need to be in the gym that you're going to, or can the trainer be online? And then you can do something with them online, so then you can go to your gym, right? So, because there's different things, because if the trainers at the gym are always constantly turning over, then that doesn't help with consistency. But if you've got someone you can kind of banter with, yeah. So here's something that a friend, this is what a friend of mine did. A friend of mine looked online, and because that's a guy, but still the principles are the same, I think, is that he did a lot of traveling. And so he was in he did a lot of working out in different places, but he had a consistent person that was his point person that he found online. And how he found them online is he went onto, I think he did some research on Instagram for online strength training coaches or trainers or whatever he called them. And then he looked at the Instagram account and he looked at the Instagram account and thought, okay, is this the kind of person that I want to work with? And then he just kind of saw it through the vibe on the Instagram. Then he direct messaged the people that he shortlisted and said, here is what I am and what I'm seeking, and how would you work with someone like me? And then their response kind of informed him of what they were going to be like and what the relationship was going to be like. And then from there, and like, and how detailed they provided a response. And then he would do one session with them, and sometimes he had to pay a fee for it. Sometimes they provide a complimentary. And then he would do one session with them and then kind of feel into, is that the relationship he wants with them? And then the ones that he got a good feel for, then he did a 5-session series. And then out of that, he found his person. So that might be a way that you can play with it. Yeah, that might be one way to play. Okay. If you need those steps written out, then maybe post in the weight loss, the membership or the Facebook group or in the Ask Coaches, and I can kind of put that out. Yeah, that's great. I've learned a lot about what I want and what I don't want through the journey, so it's not all bad. No, that's what's brilliant about it. That's really, really brilliant about it. And it's frustrating. It's like finding a doctor, right? Or a dentist or whatever. Like, it's really, it can be really challenging for sure. And they're out there. They're out there. And I mean, all of my work is online now. And I was online before the pandemic, and then the pandemic just escalated my work online. And it's awesome. Like, you can do so much online. I've worked with many of you online, and it's amazing to work with people I've never met. I met when I was at Don't Stop Believing, but I really haven't met many of you that I've worked with, like, online, right? So it's totally possible. Okay, great. There's a great, great question here that I haven't addressed, which I think is really important. So far, these questions are for those already exercising. How about those of us who are obese with limited mobility? Where do we even start? Okay, so great, great question. And what I would start with is the Get Moving course, and that's linked in the webinar chat, is to start there and ask questions from those, because the intention of those videos that Yasmin and I collaborated on for me to film for you all is to address this question. For like, there is you'll see in the intro videos that we're catering to different groups of people. And so this is one of those groups. There are people who want to get moving and don't know even where to start because of limited mobility and extra weight. So start there. And from there, give me feedback. Give me feedback. And you can do that in Ask Coaches. And already what's happened, we've had people, just to give you a sense of what's possible with Ask Coaches, is we've had people give me 2 pages of information about what's going on in them, and then me responding to some ideas of where they could go and how they could work with movement. I am more than happy. Like, kind of brings a tear to my eyes, honestly. I'm more than happy to help you, because for all the people that I've worked with within No BS, I hear all the time some of the runaround that you all get from doctors and personal trainers and people, and it just, ugh, it bugs me. And I was gonna use an expletive there, but I'm not as expletive of as Corinne. But it's like it bugs the crap out of me. And so if you have like all sorts of questions of like, blah, I got all this stuff, post it into Ask Coaches. Post it while you got me, and then I'm more than happy to do my very, very best to support you. And if there's like a video on YouTube or on Facebook that I've got that I could guide you towards, I'm happy to do that. And then if it makes sense for me to suggest a program, then I will. But I'm more than happy if you but start at the courses that are there, because that's a place to begin. And if you can try that and say, okay, this worked, this didn't work, and if there is even a this is what's missing, then I can give you such better suggestions. Okay, so I've got two websites. Someone asked me for my website. So I've got two websites. One is called functionalsynergy.com, and the other one is my full name, SusieHateley.com. Because what happened is that I've been primarily someone who teaches. I've always maintained a private one-on-one practice, but I teach. I train teachers in how I work with people. But then last year, I was doing a bunch of Facebook ads, and a whole bunch of non-professionals came into my universe, but the site's all for professionals. So then it was like, okay, well, I want to help these people. So we created the SusieHateley.com site. So you can see more. That's more for non-professionals, but you'll get a feel of me on both of those sites. Okay. And all email comes to the same place. Okay. All right, so the courses, Lisa, Ashley, if you can post the courses there again for Lisa. Okay, so here. So the anonymous attendee, I hope that's helpful. So again, I just want to emphasize, if you haven't taken the or haven't followed the question or the course, it right in here. Yeah, there we go. There it is. She just put it there. Ashley just put it in there. Okay, great. Okay, so if you haven't taken that course, please, please, please take it, because you'll get moving. And then again, tell me what's working, what's not working. And then you can outline all the things that are going on in your body, and then post that into Ask Coaches, and they'll get me onto it, and then I'll respond. Okay. All right, cool. All righty. I'm at a goal weight, no health problems. I want to strength train core and upper body. Not sure where to start. I walk a lot, hike, but what to add, but want to add more. A great question. It's a really, really good question. Okay, so I walk a lot and I hike, but I want to add more. All right, so I'm going to ask you this question. So it's six. I love that. I love your name, six. If you okay, here it is for you, Alia. Okay, I want you to imagine yourself in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. We're at August the 9th. So let's just for random, let's just go end of September. That's about 6 weeks, give or take. I want you to imagine. You have followed a, and I'm six, I'm going to get to your answer. I'm just giving some context. And you've done something for what makes sense for your schedule. Maybe it's once a week, twice a week, maybe it's daily. It doesn't have to be. And you're now at September 30th. What are you now able to do? What are you now able to do? And so, six, my question for you is, what are you now able to do? If you can answer me that question, then I can maybe suggest where to start. Hey, Ashley, I think we need to. Can you write that? Can you write her question down? Because if you can help me, there's questions around menopause and strengthening. There's this question, and then there's one other. Well, there was one other one. I said, "Ooh, we got to do more of that." What was that third thing? Because there's something in what six is asking about around. I don't know where to begin. But in order to know where to begin, we need to know what we where we want to end. That I'm going to Stephen Covey, the late Stephen Covey. It's like begin with the end in mind. Like, in order to know where to begin, we need to know where we are ending. So if we use that 6 week place and we reverse it back, we can reverse it back, right? So where do we want to be September 30th? Okay. I think there's something inside of that, Ashley, that we could play with. Okay, so again, if you're lifting heavier to be stronger, I'm going to keep dialing in on this. Darlene is six. All right, so I'm also 64. I travel, so never in the same place for long, which is amazing. Lift heavier to be stronger. Okay, so two questions. If you were stronger, what would that enable you to do, right? So if you're stronger, what would that help you do? So for me, when I'm stronger, I can still lift my kids upstairs to bed. And that's still something between the three of us that's really, really fun is me still taking them up and down the stairs. The other has to do with me riding the hills. That's why I want to be stronger. Now, there's side benefits of being stronger with those particular outcomes, but my interest is around my riding and being able to play with my kids in a way that I want. That's still really fun. So I'm wondering, like, what would being stronger really provide you? Yeah. Okay. So play with that, darling. Okay. Okay. Sue Ellen has said, okay, starting exercise again after a year of postmenopause, starting to get pain inner legs between knee and ankle on right leg. Started feeling it when putting on shoe. Hurts when lifting right foot to lay ankle on right knee to put shoe on. Pain is getting more intense, and twice this week has hit when I'm walking. Okay, so there's a lot of these things arise with menopause, and it's not always hormonally based. Okay, so there's the good news is a lot of change can happen, and your hormones don't have to change. Okay. But there will probably become more balance in your hormones as a result of better the way that you are functioning. I know that sounds kind of strange, but I've seen things like that happen as people move better. Okay, so what this sounds like is happening, what's happening here is what's going on between your how your leg is, how, like what your gait pattern is. Let me ponder what we can do. I believe we've got some walking meditations in the course, but I think, you know what? I'm thinking, and as I'm pondering this, I need to do a little video around feet and some, you know what, Sue Ellen, actually do this. I think we have something in that course. So if you could go to the course and play with the stiffness all over and the knee session, and then notice how you feel after doing stiff all over and the knee session, let me know. Can you do that and then come back to ask coaches and answer me what worked and what didn't? Like, did the pain in the inner leg between the knee and the ankle, did that shift at all? Did anything feel different putting on a shoe? Did anything like any of that? So if you can do those ones, that will give me more information. And then I'll also be filming the ball work, so you can play around with some of the ball work, because there's been some people I've worked with within this group who, when we did the ball work, it was like game changing for them. So maybe try that on. Okay. All right. Awesome, Dawson. Let's see. I just want to scroll up because I know we're over time, and that's okay. I love doing it. Okay, so Darlene has a great initial outcome. So lifting heavy things as we travel in our RV to help hubby out. Okay, brilliant. So now, Darlene, I want you to classify the heavy things that are in the RV that you currently can't lift, and which ones are lighter, and like what's light to heavy. So that then you know what you're moving toward. And then I also would like you to outline what things can you lift that are super easy, and what you're already being able to lift, and what would be the next thing to lift. Because you probably, if you're doing a lot of RVing, there's probably utilizing things you have in your RV to get stronger. There's probably things right there that you can utilize. So that might be the place to start. If you can post this into Ask Coaches of like what can you already lift that's in your RV, and what are the list of things you can't lift, and which one, and what's the heaviness factor, light to like the lighter ones to the heavier ones, like what something that is just outside of your capacity totally, that's just really, really heavy, that you can't even imagine, and wouldn't it be cool if you could? Maybe put that one at the top and then the other ones, okay? And rank them. That's where we can begin. And then I can maybe create a program for you based off of what you have in your RV. Okay? There might be some band work too that we can add in. All right, so here. Oh, Maureen, thank you. So Maureen said, "You have a kind servant heart wanting to help others." Thank you. My pleasure. I love you guys. Oh, Trudy, thanks so much. I have found that the way Susie teaches turning side to side in teapot helped my knee move way better. It doesn't seem related or enough, but it works miracles. Thanks, Trudy. You're awesome. You're awesome. Yes, Maureen, I do work with bands. And maybe Ashley, let's write that one down too. I think we can probably do some band programs here. Okay. All right. The bands are not in the movement course, but there's movement. There are lots of movements in the movement course. So what would be really helpful if you haven't gone into the movement course? Go into the movement course and then post into Ask Coaches like what's worked and what hasn't worked, and what's even if you want to go further, like what's missing, because that will inform the next one. And I know that's something that Yasmin and I have talked about, and the more that I understand what's missing and what's really working, the better. Yeah. Because I would love to be back. I'd love to be back here on a regular basis to help you guys, because like I said, I hear too many stories about how many people in this group have been treated by other people, and it just makes me really mad and sad. Because it doesn't have to be that way. Alrighty, I'm just scrolling up. I think if I've tried to catch the posts, but if I haven't, can you please either post them into the membership Facebook group, or can you post them into the Ask Coaches? 'Cause I want to make sure that you get some response from me, okay? And then those, I'm seeing some that I did miss, but I'm hoping that what I've talked about has helped you. But if I haven't, can you please post it for me? Because then I can get back to you for sure, for sure. Okay, there's a couple more in the Q&A, and I'll finish up with those here. All right, perfect, Arlene. I love it. I have weak hand strength. Block of wood. Good. I can't lift wooden picnic tables. Awesome. Now we've got a place to start. Okay, awesome, Darlene. Brilliant. How about we say you're lifting a wooden picnic table by September 30th? Is that one all right? Is that cool enough? Is that like a thumbs up? Who wants to be able to lift a wooden picnic table? Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, let me go through these. I was significantly overweight with no health issues or limitations when I wound up sustaining separate fractures in each of my feet due to two separate accidents, river rafting, then I fell down my stairs. After treating each separate fracture, then and doing little bit sitting well over a year, I'm now 30 pounds heavier and officially obese. Went to a gym, did a stupid twisting exercise. My low back hurts a lot now. Okay, so I'm going to say, let's come to the movement class and go and play with the stiff all over class, and let's start there. And then I'll make sure to get that ball rolling program. I will get that one finished filmed for you. That will be helpful to start. And again, please, please, please do it and then post and ask coaches. I'm here for you, okay? Okay. So please do that anonymous. And then last one, I hurt my knee a year ago after a long hike. I did some physio, which helped, but my knee never healed completely. 4 weeks ago, I was moving homes and lifted as I was going downstairs and couldn't walk without a limp for 3 weeks. I feel frustrated that I had to stop my exercise training for a while. Now I'm walking and go up and downstairs, but feel a bit of pain in the inner side. Okay, so let me know. How can I do this one? Knee, here's what I want you to get about the knee. This is actually a great one to end on. Okay, what I want you to get from the knee is this. All right, so look at this knee. This knee, this is the top of the knee and it's connected to that hip, same bone, right? And this is the bottom of the knee and it's connected to the ankle. Yeah? Okay, so now the only thing skeletally that's unique to knee is the kneecap. So what happens at the hip and what happens at the ankle have a huge impact on the knee. And then Trudy has even said that she found a shift with her knee when she started to improve what she was doing at her side bends. Yeah. And so the key is that, let me just put my skeleton back. So the key here is that, what's going on with your knee is not about your knee. There is a little bit, but there's more what's going on above and below. So if you go to the knee program to begin with over at the No BS course, Ashley, can you post that again? And work with the knee program. You might even work with the stiffness program, and maybe even some of the walking meditations that I have there. That might just kind of start you moving. And then based off of what you experience, message me inside of Ask Coaches what's working, what's not working, and then I can help you to that next step. I don't want you guys to leave frustrated and feeling like you don't have someone on your side. I mean, I know you've got this whole group, but you can, if you let me know what's worked and hasn't worked, I can give you more, right? If you can do that. Okay, Andrea. And then if you want to work with me more closely in the short term, in the near term, I've got a knee program that starts on August the 18th. But if you can send me a message, I'm gonna do a no BS coupon code for you guys. So send me an email to health@functionalsynergy and see and I can give you all the information and details if you really want to get going on it. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Okay. You all, I'm just gonna put my website here again. So it's, you can go here and you can also go there and email me if you're interested in that knee program. And then I will make sure to go back to Yasmin and talk about what we can do. Perhaps it probably won't happen until the new year, but something around menopause and strength and some of the other things that we talked about. Yeah. And Ashley, I think Ashley got a lot of those. And we can go from there, okay? And tell them that you would like to have more of me if you want more of me, okay? Because I'm here because you all, or many of you, said, you've got to have more Susie. So if you want me back, then please let them know, okay? All right, Ashley, thank you so much for managing my Q&A and the chat. Thank you all for your questions and your willingness. I love, love, love working with you. Have a great, great rest of your Saturday and your weekend and get moving. And I look forward to getting your questions and Ask Coaches. Okay. Mwah! Take good care, guys.